from the confession, and we've had several messages on good works. He has pointed out to us that all of our good works flow from a love for the Lord, and that we obey His commandments not to put ourselves in a right standing with Him, but simply an expression of our thankfulness to Him. And so it's entirely a matter of grace that we obey Him, out of grace and not out of law. I want to apply these messages on good works to a particular area of our lives that's very important. That is the matter of our tongues. And we'll apply this further in the message this morning as we talk about the unity of the Spirit that we're to keep in the bond of peace in the local assembly. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. Went through Proverbs last night and recorded all the verses having to do with our tongues and printed it out and came to be 12 pages of verses in Proverbs alone. So I'm thankful we have plenty of material for our study. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, these are powerful words and give us a direction for how we are to be careful before God with our tongues. Those of us that fight impulsiveness, of which I am at the top of the list, find ourselves blurting things out. And someone said that speaking like that is like having a pillow fight where the feathers just go everywhere, and how are you going to regain them? Be better to not have the fight at all. And Proverbs talks a lot about not being hasty to go and strive and leave off contention before it be meddled with. And tells us in James that we're to be slow, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And so the Scripture never would encourage impulsiveness, but always a carefulness, a thoughtfulness. It seems like, well, is there any rest? Can we just be ourselves? Well, we don't want to be sinful. And we have to plan and chart out a life of speaking with our tongue properly. It talks about, in Proverbs, about the wise man teaches his tongue how to speak. And we deal with our children all the time, how they're supposed to respond to us, how they're supposed to respond to their brothers and sisters. And so as we go about our lives, we need to be very considerate of what we say. I was thinking about pain. And that I hit this finger, it's still a little bit disfigured, fatter than this one, with a hammer as hard as one, so I can hit a finger. And the expression I use, I split it open like a grape. And I can't remember the pain, though, as such. I can't think of exactly how that felt, although I know it was very painful, especially later. But words that have been spoken to me, I can feel the pain of those if I recall them. And the word that says death and life are in the power of the tongue. We can say things that will literally cause a death in someone's heart. And we can say things that will bring life. The Lord Jesus Christ said that His words were spirit and they were life. And I think about that. Everything that He said brought life, brought instruction. It might have been a hard thing He had to say, something to the Pharisees, but He certainly said it perfectly. He said it in a way that we would not say it and never had to repent of anything He's ever said. So as we look at the tongue, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ and just study every way He answered a man in what wisdom and perfection. I'm thankful that we have grace for where we have failed and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for what He calls in Romans 3 a mouth that is an open sepulcher, an open graveyard, and that under our tongues were the poison of snakes, just venom that did pour out of our mouths. And before we were saved, our life could be characterized by speaking foul and wicked and things that produce death. And now that we've been saved, if we've come to Christ, we have the opportunity of using our tongue as an instrument of life. And what a blessing that is. We'll look at our verses under three heads. When am I to speak, or when not? How am I to speak? And what am I to speak? Actually, in the other order. When, what, and how. And we're going to be dealing mainly with the book of Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs 15:23. When am I to speak? 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? When am I to speak? In due season. Sometimes we have good things to say, but we need to be quiet. I think of those men that came to Job and wanted to comfort him. They sat down with him for, I think it was a week, and didn't say a thing. That was the most comfort they could be, is just not saying anything. And that sometimes our silence speaks more than the word we might have. And so the Lord Jesus Christ talked about saying exactly what his Father wanted him to. And there were times when he didn't speak. They weren't able to bear it. And that a wise person considers exactly, is this the time that I should say this good word? Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And so maybe we're quiet for a time. Maybe we're studying, what should I say? And some of us seem to be never at a loss for words. Others of us seem like the cat has always got our tongue. But in either case, we're studying when and what I should say. Now, there's certainly a time when we shouldn't speak. If you look at Proverbs 11. In verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Proverbs speaks several times of the talebearer. And have you ever come away from a conversation saying, I shouldn't have said that? And then the agony of thinking, if that is told again, and how I should have been quiet. The destruction that can be done in an assembly of bringing forth things that we should not. One of the questions that was asked me in an interview about being a deacon, you know, that would I be able to maintain secrecy on things that should be kept secret? And I answered in fear and trembling, because I'm a sinful man. I can blurt out something I shouldn't. I could repeat a matter that should not be repeated. And each of us should be praying constantly that we would be good secret keepers. There's a time when the assembly should be speaking. It was reported of the house of Chloe that there was this sin going on among them, and they'd not been dealing with it. And Paul says, I've judged this matter already. I don't even need to be there. What I know of this matter, you should put that individual out of the assembly. I'm speaking in 1 Corinthians 5. And there's a time where the saints do speak about a matter, because there's an unrepented sin that's going on. It's affecting the flock. And it isn't that we would speak about it in the way a talebearer would. Have you heard the latest horrible news? You know, and get some kind of delight out of sharing wickedness. But that there needs to be communication among the saints, because this individual has to be lovingly dealt with tears, with entreaties, with a loving rebuke. And so there is a time where we're not tail-bearing, we're doing what the Lord would have us to do, and being faithful with the matter. But if we took all the sins that have been committed against us and began telling everybody that, how long could an assembly continue? How long would a family continue? I mean, husbands and wives, it seems like in the family, the worst of you comes out quickest. And you could be something on the outside, but at home, that's where your religion is really known. And that husbands and wives, we could bring up all these things from the past and tell other people about our wives. Well, it tells us in Proverbs 31 that that particular man has praise for his wife. And we should consider the blessings of people instead of their sins, and bringing up the good things that God has wrought in them. I mean, this is a person that has been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. this is a person that believes in the Lord. How can I repeat such things about them? So anyway, let's consider along this line a few of the verses there. Proverbs 16:28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. That phrase, don't tell anyone this, but, a lot of times that's a whisper. And it takes exceeding grace. I don't know if I've ever been able to do it, but just say, well, am I really supposed to hear this? Is this something that's going to bring God honor and glory? It almost sounds like, well, that would be corny or something like that. But it would really be holy to stop someone before they tell you something they shouldn't tell you. Don't tell anybody else but. Well, how many of the other people have you told? You know, why am I the one who's supposed to know this and supposed to keep this secret? Because you're asking me to do something that's very, very difficult. And is this something that you've talked to them first with? It tells us that we're supposed to debate a cause with our neighbor. And we know that in Matthew, that if there is a sin that has to be dealt with, we're not to go to other people, we're to go to that individual first, because maybe we can reclaim them. Maybe it'll just be that person, and for some reason I know about it. I wish I didn't, but I know about it. Maybe it'll just be that person and myself, and we can go to the Lord, and it'll be cleared up, and I've gained my brother. No one else in the world ever has to know it, and it'll be simply under the blood of Christ. I mean, that's how that phrase, and everything ended happily ever after. We like it to be like that, but it won't end happily ever after if we go talking about everybody about it except that person. We're going around behind their back, and we're speaking death. The Lord give me grace. Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. The same theme. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. I think of the Lord Jesus Christ and how many sins he has covered by his life and by his blood. And all the things that he's not going to repeat in heaven about us, certainly in a way that would be destructive. Their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. What a glorious person that can do that. And what a help it is to us that, you know, sometimes we hear something about somebody or something comes our way and it's very painful. It's like we have to tell someone else or we can't bear the pain. I don't know if you've ever felt that pressure. Like if I tell somebody else, then it feels better. But God doesn't want us to do that. If that person has confided in us or we have heard something, we're to go to that individual and not go to someone else. And I have certainly felt the pain of not telling someone something, and I'm sad, I'm brought down, and I share many things with my wife, but sometimes I don't share something with her because I don't think she needs to bear that particular thing. I hope she's not going through what I'm going through. I don't want to drag her to my level. And what it was like for the Lord Jesus Christ to bear our sins upon the cross, and now not to repeat that matter, to receive us openly and freely because of his death. I'll just read the verse to you, Proverbs 26:20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You could look at it, Proverbs 16:20. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You know, you keep putting wood on a fire, it just keeps going. And she said, that he said, that I said, that she said, it goes on and on like this, and gets twisted and then gets built up in a something that should have never gone anywhere is now gone as a fire through a family or an assembly or a relationship. The strife ceaseth. This is what we're here for. Blessed are the peacemakers. How can I cause strifes to cease? Use these two weapons God's given me against tale-bearing. My lips and my teeth. You know, to really bite your tongue. And take it to the Lord. You know, we can always go to him and talk to him about everything. And he wants us to utter our heart to him. And we can confide in him and tell him everything that's on our hearts and truly unburden ourselves. That's where we can rest all of our burdens and cast them upon him and not have to be a talebearer. Proverbs 29:11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. What self-control it takes to do that, and we become just as that fool who speaks everything that's on his heart. You heard people say, well, I just say what I think. Well, we've done that. We just say what we think. But we're not supposed to just say what we think. We're supposed to think about what we're to say. And then Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Solomon could always turn these words perfectly. It'd be better to be a fool than be a man hasty with your words. And we talked about that. Just speaking out what I think rather than speaking what I should say. We've talked a little bit about when to speak at the proper time with the proper words. What should I speak? Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my word, unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Here we are listening to God's word, attending to his wisdom, and it gets to our lips that are supposed to keep knowledge. So my speech really begins with my listening to God, listening to his word, and then speaking according to his word, keeping knowledge with my lips. And we have all sorts of conversations. You say, well, that isn't in the Bible. I'm talking about the LSU football game or something like that. But certainly talk about it in a way that would honor the Lord. Don't have to get angry. Don't have to be frustrated. My favorite expression after every loss is, the Lord has never lost. My son says, you say that all the time. Well, I mean, I got a lot of opportunities, but anyway. He's never lost. And there's always something good we can say about the Lord and glorify him. But that it tells us over in 1 Peter 4 that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. It's really talking about ministering. If you're going to minister, say what God says. Well, let's take that to every avenue of life. A mother ministering to her children. An employer ministering to his employee. That what we say would be according to the word of God. And when we're to say it, and what we're to say, and how we're to say it. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb. You know, we've felt what it's like to be bitter. You ever been, you get up on the wrong side of the bed, and everything you say that day has just got a coarse statement to it. There's a harshness. And yet the Lord wants us to turn away from that and bring forth pleasant words. Even when we have to speak about difficult things, we could say it pleasantly and with a way that builds people up instead of dragging them down. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. We've read about Paul speaking of Titus, that when Titus came, he was refreshed. He was built up. Titus brought him a message of how the Corinthians were doing well. And this is what we're to be one to another, refreshers. That said of Philemon that he refreshed Paul's soul. And you think, well, how could I ever refresh an apostle? Well, I'm sure he refreshed him with the pleasant words of Christ, wholesome words, thinking about things that would really build someone up. Let's look over at Ephesians chapter 4 to go to the New Testament. This is a verse that I have students write 5 times. If there's a problem with their speech in my classroom, you'll see why. I've got kids that can quote it now. They say, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What are we to speak? Things that will edify, that will actually build someone up, will not destroy them or break them down, that it may minister grace unto their hearts. Yes. I'm sorry, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And notice the next phrase, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That if corrupt things come out of our mouth, and certainly that's not just talking about cursing, I apply it that way in class, but that we say things that are improper, that are unkind, that are not thoughtful, that are at the wrong time, that we're not ministering grace to the hearts, we're not edifying, that this grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God always brings us a word in due season. He's always the comforter. And that even when we go to a saint who's in sin, it's to be in humbleness, in carefulness, in love, to where that saint knows we're not coming in anger. And that these words, though they're hard and grievous and difficult, there is a building up, a supporting by the grace of Jesus Christ, that even though there's sin involved, there's grace with the Lord, that He forgives us of all of our transgressions, that there's no iniquity, even the most grievous things we ever said, that the Lord can forgive us and does forgive us by His work. Let's look at Proverbs 27:6, then we do have to bring a grievous word. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now here's a situation where to not say something or not come to an individual would be like kissing him and being deceitful. There's a time to speak, and the proverb here says that it would be a wound. You know, none of us likes to hear bad news, and I've had some people had to bring me bad news, and I've had some bring it in a very gracious way. And their wounds were faithful. I appreciate it. It tells us that wise men receive reproof. They love instruction. And we do want to hear that which would help us. And we don't want a saint to be silent when they could help us and bring something to us that would help us turn away from a sin or instruct us in a way that we should go more thoroughly. And these things are faithful. But they are wounds. And sometimes what we are to speak does this. But we must be faithful in it. Of course, a faithful friend will pray for you, will support you, will still be your friend, and not turn away from you, just as the Lord never turns away from us. We can meditate much on when we're to speak and what we're to speak. Let's look at how we're to speak. Proverbs 15:1. How we are to speak. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I'm afraid a lot of times when we speak, it's like an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You said this horrible thing to me, well, I can one-up you on that. And then we say that to them, and then they come back with another one, and you're just in a battle of who can destroy one another the fastest and the most thoroughly. And here is a thoughtful individual. Now, how am I going to answer these angry words? Because they made me angry. Well, I don't want to be quick to speak. I want to be slow to speak. And how am I going to say it? A soft word. It tells another proverb that a soft word breaks the bones. Well, we don't want to hurt them, but we need to slow down this anger. And that it, God says it turns away the wrath. It's kind of like sticking a nail in the tire, and it just goes down. And they might have expected a harsh word, and what they got, a blessing. This is what we're told to do over in the book of 1 Peter, that being reviled, we bless. And this is what the Lord did on the cross. When He was reviled of all these individuals, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so our answer, unlike theirs and unlike what we would ordinarily do, will turn away wrath and bring a blessing to them. teacher was talking to me yesterday about dealing with students. She says that when I'm kind to them, they don't know how to deal with that. And she was just talking along these lines, that they just keep trying to get her angry, and she just keeps being sweet, and it unnerves them and turns away their wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. If you want the contention to continue, just keep on speaking grievously. And it takes tremendous grace not to say what's on our mind, because I don't know if you ever fight anger, but I have. It's a great monster in my heart. And dealing with my children, it seemed like they know exactly what to say to ignite what I wouldn't want ever to be there. And so we have to pray and plan beforehand how to deal with our children, how to deal with a boss who, that's all he says is grievous things. And then we have to be his servant and speak to him softly. Proverbs 16:21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Here we start with a prudent heart, and the things that we say come out of the heart. Brother Fred has taught us that when we say, well, I didn't mean to say that, and you already said it, well, you really meant to say that, you just shouldn't have said it, because it came out of your heart. And we mull over these things, we have an attitude, we sometimes are joking, but we're really not joking, we're telling exactly what we think. And if the Lord wants us to have a prudent heart, a wise heart that brings forth sweetness. The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Do we want to instruct our children? Instruct them sweetly. Loudness and volume doesn't equal learning. Screaming doesn't equal learning. Sweetness of the lips are the quickest way to get to anyone's heart and to be edifying to them. I laugh, but I need so much grace here. I need so much work in being sweet in my speech. I have some students who, I had one girl tell me she wanted to go out and beat me up, you know. And I need exceeding grace in dealing with situations like that. I haven't been tested this year, but I'm usually tested on the worst of days. So I pray to have a sweet spirit so I can teach these children. And may the Lord give us all grace. But we're to speak with sweetness. And then Proverbs 25. Proverbs 11:12. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. How to speak? Words fitly spoken. That really encompasses all of it. When should I speak? What should I speak? And how I should speak? Words that are fitly spoken, at the proper time, in the proper way, and with the proper content, like apples of gold and pictures of silver. This is God's Word. You know, we all like to look at pictures on the wall, and I don't know if anyone's ever made one that, you know, there's these gold apples. They're sitting up there in this beautiful frame of silver, in a background of silver. And then this verse underneath it, those of you who do all that cross-stitching, maybe that'll be a good one for you. But God wants us to use our tongue to be a blessing. I mean, I've had some brethren say some things to me that if they hadn't said them, it seemed like I'd have gone under. God just gave them that one word from the Scripture at the right time, and I can go back to times in my life. There's the apples of gold and pictures of silver. And we know what rotten apples smell like, but they were not that. These are apples of gold. They're enduring words. They'll continue to be a blessing to us all our days. Aren't we thankful for a pastor who's brought us the gospel over and over again, each message? I always catch myself and I say, well, the last message was really good. Well, all of them, I can't think of a single one that wasn't really good, but hasn't blessed me, that it didn't go away with apples of gold and pictures of silver in my heart. I'd like to consider something of the words of the Lord and how he spoke. Psalm 45:2. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. I believe verse 2 very obviously is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was fairer than the children of men, and grace was poured into his lips. I love to read God's Word. We could say all of His Word is like this. We don't just have to have a red letter Bible to find out where God's gracious words are. Everything that Christ said, grace was poured into His lips, and all of these words speak of Him. And He is our pattern. He is, even now, speaks from heaven peace to our heart. Gracious things. Speaking to us of his death on the cross and reminding of us that he has died for us and that he has bled for us. I'm thankful that this is what the Word says of him, that grace is poured into his lips. Let's look at Isaiah 50, verse 4, speaking of his words. Verse 4, Isaiah 50, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear, to hear is the learned. Now if we have any question about whether this is speaking of Christ, we read a little further. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Well, the I in verse 6 has to be the one whom God has opened his ear to hear his word and to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Have you ever been weary? Ever dragging your feet around? Your sin has dragged you into the slough of despond. And then the Lord says something like, I've blotted out your sins as a cloud. You know, that the dark days that you would see, above that the sun is shining. We just get above the sun of our sin, we see the sun shining, and Jesus Christ comforts us with his words, with his promises, that though we have sinned, he has washed it, and though we never deserve heaven, we're going to be there forever and ever. And that our trials become great, and we don't even know a way out of them, that there's a way with the Lord, that he's working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That we're going through, as Sister Debbie, a grave illness in the family. That God has a word. He has encouragements that God is working right now in Brother Fred's heart. That he messages we're going to hear in the future are going to be blessed because God's going to bless this trial to his soul. And that the Lord Jesus Christ can comfort him with his word while he's on a bed of affliction and not be without hope. Certainly he knows where to go to find these words. But I think of the Lord's whole life as found in this verse. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned, that Jesus Christ, where we may have sinned in the morning and our minds were on the Lord, his ear was opened every morning to hear God's, his Father's word to him. And that was what he heard throughout the day. And he spoke according to what he heard his Father say in his heart. God's very word to him. In John 7:46, it says, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. In that chapter, they were going out, their assignment was to go get Christ, to go bring him back, and they were going to afflict him, I suppose. Wanted to put him to death, and they came back empty-handed. Said, what's the matter? What happened? never man spake like this man. I don't think that went over very well. I don't think that was a very good excuse for them, but that's exactly what they all they could say is that we heard him speak, and we couldn't take it. And what a Savior. We read through the Word of God and find him always saying the perfect thing, and they thought they were going to catch him in his speech, and he would say something to them, and they couldn't answer him a word. Never man spake like this man. So how are we going to know what to speak and when to speak and how to speak? We listen to the Lord. We listen to his word. Let's look at Psalm 34. How am I ever to grow in this grace? Verse 11, Psalm 34. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I think about wanting to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and wanting to fear the Lord. And God says, listen to me. I don't know if you battle to get time in the Word, and when you get in the Word, you battle to be attentive to the Word, but I certainly can understand your battles, because this is one of the greatest battles I have, to get the time and get the attentiveness that I need. I long for the days of heaven where I'll never be anything but hearing His Word, because I find that I don't listen as I should, and pray that my ears are not dull of hearing, but that we listen to the Lord, and by listening to Him and His Word, that He begins to teach us to fear Him. He works in our heart that which we can't work. We're to grow in grace, but He gives the grace. And have we sinned with our tongues? Have we not been one thoughtful with them? We can go to the Lord and ask Him to teach us and listen to His Word and obey His Word and find that He'll fit it in our lips. It talks about that in Proverbs, that God will fit these words in our lips. We'll begin saying things And where'd that come from? Well, it came from the Lord. And find that we're edifying others rather than maybe dragging them down to our level. He goes on to say in verse 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Ponce de Leon was searching for the fountain of youth in Florida. And I look at this verse and I said, well, he just needed to stay over there in Spain or Portugal, wherever he was, and just keep his tongue from evil. Because if he wanted a long life, he needed to look to Christ for eternal life. And then if he wanted his life in these days to be multiplied, just watch what he said. Didn't mean to make that long trip and waste all that time. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Peter quotes this in the book of 1 Peter. And we just have to watch our hearts, because what will come out will be something deceitful, or it'll be evil. And I don't understand this verse as such, but God says your life will live longer if you watch your tongue. Or you'll live longer if you watch your tongue. What an amazing promise. And we're depart from evil. Talks about evil speaking, coarse jesting, foolish talking over there in the book of Ephesians. I heard of a saint who had a problem with, I hope he was a saint, had a problem with telling dirty jokes. You know, what in the world would ever prompt you to do that but an evil heart, speaking evil things? There should never be any talking like that. Always putting that away. I mean, things will pop into our minds. Well, why was that funny? It's wicked. It tells us over in the book of Philemon that we're supposed to think about good things and just things and lovely things, and that our minds should be on those things. And if our minds are on those things, we'll never have to deal with those kind of foolish and ungodly things that would hurt people. So we depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. And this is, you know, my desire to walk with people where I'm helping them walk in peace. And I know that's your heart if you're a saint, that you want to, who wants to go through church troubles? Who wants to go through dissensions? And the time to talk about these things is beforehand. You know, before you go out on the football field, you're going to talk about the battle and how you're going to do the best you can to preserve yourself from fumbles and interceptions and things like that. Well, I'm glad I'm not bringing this message now in the midst of a church split or a potential church split. But we talk beforehand about these things and every day to practice them. I love the Word of God that every moment is the time to do that. It isn't like, well, this is for somebody else. So I hope so-and-so down the row's hearing this one, because it's not for me. It just, this is for me. This is the time for me to depart from evil with my mouth, to do good, to seek peace. It's so easy to rub one another wrong. I mean, you've heard about personality conflicts. I mean, his personality, her personality just rubs me the wrong way. Well, the problem is me. You know, I say, well, if they weren't this way, then I would love them. Well, that's not love. You know, that's putting them under some kind of law. All of us need to grow in grace. But if someone rubs me the wrong way, I better look at what's in my heart that's being rubbed. And that if the Lord Jesus Christ has laid down his life for this person and he receives this person, I'm to love them in their imperfections. See, this is a time where God has... We think, why couldn't the Lord just taken me there the first day? But now that I'm here, I have opportunity to deal with the sin of others against me, my sin against them, to depart from the things I'd say that, well, maybe it is the truth. Well, that isn't the proper time maybe to say it. Take that to the Lord in prayer. Watch the Lord change them. Live a life of an example before them if God's given you grace to do that in a particular area. And so if we're to seek peace and ensue it or pursue it, here's this peace out here. Run after that, because it's easy to run into dissension and contentions and harsh words. You just can't reclaim them. Those feathers are, you know, the wind comes and blows them to other people, and you can't go back and get them, put them back in the pillow. So may the Lord give us grace to have our eyes on the Lord. And it talks here about prayer. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 about turning away from these words. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He says this should never even be once named among us. Isn't that astounding? I mean, he didn't say it just like, well, here's this ideal, I know you can't make it. Well, we know we've sinned, and we may sin in the future in this, but this is, God doesn't say, well, I'm not going to tell you what to do because you're not going to do it. He puts his command before us, and so we're always looking at that and repenting toward that, not saying, well, who can keep their mouth? Who can do that? No one keeps their tongue. We don't make excuses for sin. We go to the Lord with our sin and repent and ask him to keep our mouths. But never should it be named among us, well, he sure says a lot of foolish things, or he sure says coarse things or unkind things. Look at the contrast. Which are not convenient or not proper, but rather giving of thanks. If you're going to say something, rather than say something wicked, give thanks. Thank the Lord. There's always something to thank the Lord about. Even in a great trial, or even when you're cast down, or even when something terrible happens to you, or someone says something about you or to you, there's always a way to be thankful to the Lord. And David even said, if the Lord sent Simeon to curse, let him curse. That was sort of a way of being thankful to the Lord for bringing even a wicked word my way. Well, Lord, there's something you're going to do good out of this. I thank you. I can respond properly to Simeon, though he's not responding properly to me. Amen. And the bottom line here is right in this passage. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. I think about the topic of a conversation. The only time you're ever speaking about someone, it should be good things. I think we can talk behind each other's back if we're saying about how great this person is. I mean, look what he's done for me. Look how he served the Lord. Or look how he's trying to serve the Lord. Certainly he's failed in some ways, but look how he's repented. And if we ever get in a conversation where we're talking about someone behind their back that's negative, we're talking to the wrong person. We either talk to God or we talk to that person directly. And we know in Matthew 18 that if that person will not hear us, we may have to talk to one or two other faithful brethren that will go with us, but no more than that. And that only in prayer, seeking to regain that brother. And then if that fails, then we only talk to the church. We don't broadcast it to the community. This is a family matter. The wicked won't know how to handle this. They'll turn it into something to rejoice in rather than something to weep about. And so we tell it to the church, and the church deals with that faithfully, and it doesn't go from there. And that's the ideal. And may the Lord give us grace as an assembly too, and as individuals. You know, I feel the weight of this. We're in a peaceful time. I feel like I'm in an oasis when I come here. I'm with brethren that love me. If there's any divisions among us, I don't know that. And may God give us grace today to put them away, because we're one body in Christ. But that we would walk in love, and this is a way to show love to our brethren when they're not even around. Just don't get into conversation. And may it be said of us, they never talk about anybody. I mean, you might be real boring to some people, because some people, that's all they want to hear are negative things. They want to hear that juicy thing. And Brother Al Martin talks about having a wicked ear. You may not have a wicked tongue, but you like to hear wicked things. And so we have to turn away from that wicked ear that likes that and seek to come to situations where we are edifying one another and glorifying Christ, speaking with the Lord there in our conversation. He is right here. The Lord is in our midst. How can we offend him who died for us? Someone said he...
Go ahead. Discussion. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Someone said, well, he was looking at me when he said that. I'm not looking at any individual. I'm really not. I've been looking at my own heart. And I fear this mouth, because it's so destructive. And yet I thank the Lord for the command to preach the gospel to every creature. We got something good to say. We have some good news. We have something that if they believe what we say, it just astounds me. If you believe what I say, you're going to live forever. That's life, because it's the Lord's word. And thank the Lord we've heard his words, and he has spoken to our hearts, words of life. Yes. Well, James says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. I need help. You know, I've gone to the Lord with this and I'm still having trouble. And you confess it to your husband, to a friend, brother, sister. Will you pray with me about this? And so that's a confidence. And so we're not to reveal secrets, you know. Guess what so-and-so wanted me to pray? I don't say it like that. Guess what so-and-so said? So there is, definitely, you know, to share those things one with another. Pray for one another. Confess our faults one to another. Anybody else? That was very good.
You mentioned the value of silence in not overlooking conflicts, but understanding conflicts until there is a proper time. Mm-hmm. There is a grace in this. It does take patience.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes, go ahead.
When you could have commanded yourself and attention, you know, you could have commanded attention.
Right. I think of dealing with my children that to deal with one of their faults in front of all of them is not good. Yeah. I need to take them aside and when the others don't even see, I'm taking them aside and talk to them about that. But I speak here more of my failures than of my victories. But I do pray to be that kind of person who can do that.
You never know what comes from that kind of treatment. Your children recognize you have done it, but it's not open to yourself until you have to do it again 10 years later to another child. And they might mention, I never thought you'd get around to doing this to me. Yet, at the same time, they recognize you did it 10 years ago to another child. And at the same time, you're doing it just as gentle as you do. It works.
David said, thy gentleness hath made me great. Wow. Anybody else? Well, we certainly wish that Brother Fred could be here to preach this morning. He wanted to preach this morning, and someone said, well, why? Why didn't he just give up earlier? Well, the brother is a faithful brother. He wants to carry out his responsibilities, and we love him for it. But I request your prayer for the morning's message. Let's pray.